Lord, we just come humbly before you today, Lord. You are Lord. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. You are Lord, Lord. And when we see you, Lord, we will fall at your feet. We'll cast our crown at your feet, Lord. And we'll give you the honor and the praise that's due to your name, Lord. Because we'll realize you did it all. You did it, Lord. When you gave up your spirit, you said, "It is finished." You did what we couldn't do, Lord. And we thank you today for your mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Can you turn that down a little? It's a little hot. Our last message on Ephesians, we looked at the first part of chapter 5, and we're focusing basically on what does it mean to be an imitator of God as dear children, And we looked at last time what it means to walk in love, because God is love, and as his children and wanting to imitate him, I want to know how do I walk in the love of Christ? And this morning, what I want to look at is the next portion of Scripture there in Ephesians 8 through 14 and focus on what it means to walk as light, as a child of God. But I want to kind of reiterate a little bit from chapter 1 and a couple of things we learn about what God did for us through the death of Jesus. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul is reminding these once heathen people, these once people that were in darkness, he's reminding them of what God has done for them. And it's good for us to remind ourselves. Sometimes we forget. And it's good for us to meditate what God has actually done for us in the work of the cross. So here's just a couple of things from those chapters. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we understand from the Scriptures, Jesus is at, right now, at the right hand of the Father. And that place is the place of authority, and it's indicative of Jesus giving everything we need to us from heaven. Every spiritual blessing, so that we can live and have life more abundantly. God has provided everything we need. Every spiritual blessing. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. He has made a way for us to be reunited with our Creator. He's given us access so we, sinners who were once separated from God, because of what Jesus did, we can enter behind the veil to that holiest of place and we can commune once again with God. He's given us access. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In other words, it's because of what he did. His blood, his death on the cross, my sins can be forgiven. Your sins can be forgiven. We can be cleansed, redeemed by the riches of his grace. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. God is storing up an inheritance for us in Christ Jesus. And it's already been ratified in his blood in the new covenant. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If we're his children, the Spirit of the living God has come to dwell inside of us, and he bears witness with us. We know inside there's a knowing that God gives us that I am a child of God. And there's something in our hearts that cries out, Abba, Father, like that song we were singing. It's not just words, it's real. I have a heavenly Father and he's adopted me. I'm his son, I'm his child. And the Holy Spirit is given to us. And it's like a promise of what God has done for us and where we're headed. He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And God was reminding me the last few days how dead I was in sins. But he's given me life. He's woken me up. It's almost as if I was sleeping. I was unaware of my surroundings, and God brought light. He brought life into my life. Brings us out of death into life. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Creatures who are merely dust, were of the earth. Somehow God in His Spirit has lifted us up into heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He picks us up in our frailty, in our humanity, when we put our trust and our faith in Him, and He raises us up together with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And it's a picture of resurrection life that we have with Christ. He lifts us up. It goes on, it says, we're His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we have a purpose. God has made us for a reason. And it's to know Him. It's to function in the way He designed us, that as we live, as we move, as we have our being, He's our life and He's glorified through our lives, through our relationship with Him. We're His workmanship. He has things for us to do. He has a plan for our lives. And He is our peace. He is our peace. The world searches for peace in every kind of thing you can think of, but He is our peace. I'm finding that out more and more in my life when the storms are raging, when you just feel like your anchor can't grab onto anything and the boat's going to go down. Somehow you fix your eyes on Jesus, you get your eyes on Him, and somehow that same voice that spoke to His disciples when they were in the middle of the sea and the waves were beating and they thought the boat was going to sink, and Jesus got up and said, peace, be still. And the waves cease and the storm cease. And God does that inside now. It doesn't mean my storms cease outwardly, but inside there's a peace that only He can give, and it's real. It's really what the world is searching for, but they're not going to find it outside of Him, because He is our peace. Through Him, we have access by the Spirit to the Father. I shared that a little bit already. We're reunited by one Spirit to the Father, and we're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So as a body, as a people, He's working together in all of us to glorify Him, to bring forth His purpose in the earth. So let's read now, starting in verse 8. We looked at walking in love, and with this in mind, all He has done for us, and we want to imitate Him, right? We learned we want to walk in love, but now we want to walk as children of light. Verse 8. It says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit, in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And Lord, I just thank you this morning. When you came into the world, the light came into the world, the truth, the way, the life. And Lord, I pray this morning as we look at your word, as we look to you, God, that you will bring light into our souls, that your light will penetrate our hearts and our minds. God, that you'll reveal the things you're wanting to reveal to us through your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless our time in your word this morning. Speak to us this morning, God. Your words are spirit and they're life. God, bring life into hearts this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The world many times puts labels on us. When I was a drug addict, I was told I would be that way the rest of my life. And I used to go to meetings where guys would stand up and say, "Hey, I'm Jeff. I'm a drug addict." And typically, by the end of the meeting, I was so depressed, I would just go out and get high. Because I just saw no hope in that. Is this what I'm going to be the rest of my life? Just, "Hey, I'm Jeff, I'm a drug addict. That's my identity. That's what the world would label me." But when I came to Christ and He set me free, He makes me a new creation. And the Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And God gives me a label, but it's not the label the world gives me. So I don't have to walk around and say, "Hey, I'm Jeff and I'm a drug addict. I'm in recovery." No, I've been set free. I'm a child of God. I once was darkness, but now I'm light. And that's what He's reminding these Ephesians, who really lived in a pagan society. And Paul's like, "Listen, just, you were that. You, everything you see around you, that's what you were. You were darkness, but you are a child of light now." And we need to remind ourselves of that. I am not that guy anymore. I am not that girl anymore. I am a new creature in Christ, and we need to own that. That's what Jesus purchased. That's what the gospel is all about. It really is good news. God really does totally transform your life. The world can't do that. Only God can do that. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, just live out what already has been done for you. Believe God to walk this out and to be what now He has created you to be, a child of light. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul says it this way. He says, "Such were some of you." Again, he's reminded, that's what you were. Such were some of you. That's what you used to be. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, when we unite our lives with Christ, when we give our lives to Christ, His light, His life comes into our inside world. I thought of it this way. I was working on my motorcycle the other day and I went to switch my flashlight on and it was dead. So I took the batteries out and it was kind of real to me. I was thinking of this message, and that's what we're like without Christ. With this light bulb with no way to turn on. We need something else, energy, to light up. And before Christ, we walk around and we're supposed to be light. We were created to be light. But because of sin, because we rebelled against God, we became darkness. We lost our batteries. We lost what should have been dwelling inside of us, God's life. It's energy. It's His life. It really is what makes us alive. That's why it says you were dead in trespass. Even though physically we're alive, we're dead. There's no life in us. It's dark. And when we give our life to Christ, it's like I put some fresh batteries in there, and boom, that light lit up. Do you remember when that happened for you? When God put the batteries in you and all of a sudden you lit up and the lights went on and you were like, "I get it." And your understanding opened up and God revealed His truth. You remember that? That's what this is talking about. You were washed. You were sanctified. And no, God's cleansed you. He set you apart for himself. Sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Will not. You will not walk in darkness anymore. And again, without Christ, we're like the flashlight. This world is like a dark room. And without Christ, we're trying to find our way through life with a flashlight with no batteries. And the Bible describes it as groping. You know, we're going through life like trying to grab onto something that has some substance to it. Something that's going to give us what our heart is desiring for. And so we're groping. Groping in the dark, looking for something that will never satisfy us. And until we come into the light and see and our eyes are open, we continue groping, going to this thing, going to that thing, going to that thing. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light of life. We're new creations in Christ. Again, only He can change us from swine to sheep. I was a pig. You could clean me up as much as you wanted to, and I would go right back to the mud hole and roll around in it and get all dirty again. And I did that for many years, even as a believer in church. I was clean on the outside. I did the religion thing. I didn't let the light penetrate my heart. So, you know, you could clean me up a little bit, but, you know, I would just keep going back to the same pig pen. Because in my heart, I was still a pig. I wanted the muck and the mire, and that's just always where I would go. But Jesus, when He truly came in, when I truly put my faith in Him, He did away with the swine, and I became a sheep that follows Him. And now He leads me. I have light now. And He says, no, not over there. You remember what that was like? No, follow me. And then you learn to hear His voice, and He becomes your light, and He guides you through life, and He leads you to better things. He leads you to His pastures. He leads you to good water, nice clean water. He gives you life. That's what it means to be His sheep. We walk with Him. He's our guide. He becomes our light. He leads our steps through life. The emphasis really is on you were. You were. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 8 says, you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep like other people do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, do it at night. Let us who are of the day be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. So let us put on faith. As we walk in the light, the first thing we do is we put on faith. In other words, we get our eyes on Jesus because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we put our faith in Him and we trust in Him and Him alone and what He did for us. We don't look to ourselves. We can't trust in ourselves. We put our faith in Him. And we learn, because of His love for us, how to love Him and how to love other people. And we talked about that, walking in love. And we learn the secret of abiding in His love as we walk with Him. And then our hope, which here is pictured as a helmet, and it really is. Hope guards our mind. It helps us not be earthly minded, because that brings death. When we're focused on the earthly things and our lives in this world, it doesn't produce life. The Bible says, he who's earthly minded, you know, it's opposite of the thinking of God, and it produces death. But when we're a child of light, our hope are in the things above. We have an eternal mindset, and it protects us. And we do this by meditating on his word. This is the light. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. That's the light that came into the world. When we talk about light, really, it's knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. That's the saying we say, the lights went on. I understood. God helped me understand. God revealed himself so I could know him. That is salvation, to know him. Salvation is to know him. And God does that. God reveals himself, and he's given us the written word, which is God-breathed. And when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us and we meditate on the word and we pray over the word and we study the word, God reveals things to us about himself, about us. That's why this was written for us. It's God's heart to us. And we should be in it all the time. Because what it will do, it will produce hope in you. When I'm weighed down, when I'm getting weighed down by the cares of this life, if I spend an hour or two in the Word and I just start focusing on where my hope truly lies, because really, this is the only thing that's going to last. It's the Word of God is the only thing, it says, that's going to endure. Everything else is going to pass away, but the Word of God is going to endure, and everything God has spoken is going to be done. He says at the end of the book, yes and amen. It's going to happen. God is going to fulfill everything he has spoken. So I don't have a false hope. When I read the word of God, I can say, God, you said it, it's going to be, or it is already. Because most of the things are already. And it's right to claim that. It's right to put my hope in that. I'm not going to be let down if I do that. If you put your hope in the world, you will be let down. There is nothing to hope in the world. There's nowhere you can place your anchor. The world is shaking. It's going to shake more. This is where our hope is. In these pages. In God. In his word. In his truth. That's what light is, knowledge. That's what God wants us to focus on. In Ephesians 4, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago, listen to Paul's prayer for them. Or actually, he's telling them. He says, this I say, therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles. In other words, those who don't believe. That's what you were. Don't walk that way anymore. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. That was me. We were all that at one time without God. Because of the blindness of heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to all lewdness, to all uncleanness and greediness. But then it says, but you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him, you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. So as you learn, as you get into scriptures, as you let Jesus teach you, the old man gets put away. The more you're renewed in your mind. It says that. It goes on. It says, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. One thing that is real to me, my old nature will never change. It has to die. I have to put on the new man that's created in righteousness in Christ Jesus. That's the exchange we get. My life, or his life for mine, which a divine exchange. I give him my old man, he gives me himself. So I deny that old man. He's dead. I reckon him dead. You do that by faith. He was crucified. The old Jeff was crucified with Christ. Even though he tries to reinsert himself, no, you're dead. You're done. It's him now. My life is in Christ now. So it goes on. Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The perfect man, Jesus. Put him in. Walk as children of light. In other words, just manifest what you already are. Just let the life of Christ come through out of your life. Let God live his life through you. Just yield to him. Just submit yourself to him. And his life will come through your life. Walk as children of light. And here's my verse I read last Sunday. I own this for myself in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. And that is our testimony as believers. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ now who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, even though you see me walking around in the flesh, living and breathing, really, there's another life, there's another energy in me. That when this body is done away with, it's going to continue on in glory with Jesus. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. You understand? It's what he did. He's my hope. He's my focus. He's who I live for now. He's where I'm headed. Who loved me. Who loved you. And gave himself for you. So you could know him in that way. So you could know what real life is. Real hope. He died for you so you could know that. All things are possible to him who believes. You might be sitting there saying, I don't know, you don't know. I'm like really bad. I've been seeing how really bad I am the last few days. It's quite painful. When God has to remind you sometimes what's still in there, it hurts. But on the flip side of it, it just makes him more wonderful and just, I don't even know how to put it into words to you. When you're in your rightful place and you understand he's everything. He is everything to me. It's him. It's him. He's the wonderful one. He's the good one. He's my life. I couldn't exist without him. I couldn't make it without him. I feel like sometimes if I didn't have him, I would just break into a million pieces. We could all act tough. We can all put on the thing we do. But in reality it is, God remembers we're dust. God remembers how frail we really are. We don't like to admit that too much. So as his beloved children, sometimes he has to bring us through things just to remind us, okay? You understand now? Yes, Lord. Okay, just look at me, and I'm everything you need. Stop looking at yourself. Look at me. I love you. I've done everything for you, and I'll support you. I'll be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. Just look at me. Just believe me. But you know what our problem is? We don't live there. We get up from that place and we think, all right, I got it. I'm good. I got this now, God. And then we try to walk without him. And then we got to go through the fire again. He's got to bring something into our life to remind us we need him. And it's okay. We weren't created to be independent. We don't have anything in ourselves without God. Nothing. But yet we have everything with Him. Everything. Nothing's lacking. All things, like we read earlier, all things. Every spiritual blessing. And then it comes down to really the fellowship we have with Him when we understand that. And when you do that, verse 9 is natural, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says it's in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's not striving, it's abiding. When we're trying to do it without Him, we're striving, we're trying to be good, we're trying to do this. But this is talking about walking with Him and abiding in Him, and what will be there is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It'll be the natural outworking of simply walking with Him. Listen to what, I think it was Henry Blackaby quote. He said, when you're God-centered, even the desires to do things that please God will come from God, who will stir your heart. That has been true in my life. We think when we do something, we had something to do with it, but even that's from God. You know what I'm saying? But when we're walking with Him, when we're spending time with Him, when we're focusing on Him, He gives us that. And there's sometimes we know. You know, maybe when it's that person you just have a really hard time with and all of a sudden you really love them, then we know, okay, that's not me. That's you, Lord. The Bible said it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for His good purpose. That's Philippians 2, verse 13. It's God doing that. He even does that for us. So when we're walking in the light, in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, again, will be the natural result. And then verse 10 says, and then find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find out what is acceptable. In other words, continue to learn about Him, from Him. What does God like? What is Jesus like? What is He like? I want to know what's pleasing to Him. I want to learn more about Him, how He treats people, how He speaks, how He looks at somebody, how He serves, how He responds when people wrong Him. I want to learn about Him because I want to please Him. Jesus said, everything I do, the reason is to please the Father. Why did He say that? Because they were one. They were in perfect fellowship. And then He prayed, Father, make them one, just as we are one. See, and when we're like that, we're going to want to please Him. And that's where our motivation will come. And it says, proving what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And you do that step by step, moment by moment, in every action of life, you apply this standard. Okay? Not, if I don't do this, I'm not going to fulfill the law, and God's going to be mad, and He's going to judge me. So I got to be good, and I got to be perfect, because if I'm not, I'm in trouble. Is that going to please God? Actually, that would grieve His heart, because He loves us, and He wants us to do things that are pleasing to Him, because we love Him. And when that's motivating us, we're not under the bondage of the law. And then the standard becomes, okay, I'm watching a movie. Jesus, do you like this? Think about that. That does away with, oh, I only watch this or you watch that. Just for yourself. This is what I do. Jesus, do you like that? Do you like what you're hearing? Do you like what we're seeing? Do you like that, Jesus? Or maybe we are engaged with someone and something happens and we say some things. Jesus, did you like what I said to that person? Did that please you? Jesus, do you like what I'm thinking in my heart towards that person? Does that please you? And then, how do we learn these things? Because, you know, if we don't have some kind of standard, then it's kind of like, well, yeah, I guess he likes that. Yeah, I think he's good with that. How do we know? He's given us his word. You want to know what he's like? You want to know what pleases him? It's all here. Study him. Meditate on it. Read it. Read it over and over and over and over again. Watch Jesus dealing with people. Watch how he speaks to them. Watch how he responds, especially on the cross. Especially on the cross. Because everything he did pleased the Father. And they're one, so if we watch Jesus and we act like him, guess what? We're pleasing. That's my standard. Him. Not my own standard. Him. And we all figure that out on our own as we're growing. You know what I mean? It's a process. I mean, there were things years ago that I was fine with, but the closer you get to him, he helps you. We're all at different places, and it's okay. But as long as we're continuing to learn from him and we're open and we're letting God help us with things and letting us convict him, and when he shows us things, we see it. We say, God, you're right. I was wrong. I shouldn't have did that. God, forgive me. Lord, help me. I want to please you. That's how you grow. And it's not this heavy thing, you know, where you're constantly walking around, okay, you know. That's the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. So there's a standard. Law versus love. Instead of a demanding law that's always there condemning, because that's what the law, that's all the law, it condemns us. And it tutors us, it shows us we need something better. That's why Jesus had to come. Because none of us can be perfect. None of us can fulfill a law. None of us. They tried it for thousands of years. It's impossible. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. There's none good. There's many ways that the burden of life's requirements can be lighter. But the perfect way is love. And just simply wanting to please him. Because Jesus said, my burden's not heavy. It's light. Just get in the yoke with me and learn from me. That's the picture, you know. It's getting in the yoke and he'll help you. He'll guide you through life. The most precious fact is that the law is changed into his will and that we seek to do what is right because it pleases the master. And it all comes out again from our union, our relationship with him. That's why we got to have a relationship with him. We have to have our conscience continually educated, enlightened, taught. And again, we have to have the Word of God very close to our hearts. We read in Proverbs, in many places, about writing, you know, his Word on the tablets of your heart. We got to let the Word of God, and that's the promise, really, of the new covenant, you know, he'll write it in our hearts. The Word of God, he'll write it inside of us. But we have to take it up. We have to take it up constantly and live close to him. So we can discern and we can know him. And then we'll be able to prove what is acceptable to him. God really wants you to know him. Do you understand that? He wants you to know him. Not your conception, not what you learned from your example of a father or whatever. He wants you to know who he really is. Not from somebody else and their ideas or their thoughts. He wants you to know him as he is. And again, he's given that to us in his word. And listen to Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 3. Listen to the prayer. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ. So God wants you to know his love. He wants you to understand who he really is, not your conceived notions of who he is. Because if you understand He's love, even when He's disciplining you, even when He's correcting you, you could take it, because the Bible tells us, whom the Father loves, He disciplines, and it's for your good. And you know that, even though it's hard, you don't like it. Kind of like me lately. But it tells me I'm loved, and He's producing something in me. And it's all for my good, because He's love, He's good. He is a good Father. I can trust Him. Just look at the cross. Just look at the cross. God dying for you. What other motive could He have? That you may be comprehend the width, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's beyond human thought, conception. His love. For all eternity, we'll be learning His love. And falling at His feet and thanking Him for who He is. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants. He wants you to be full with all of His fullness. And then it says, now to Him who is able to exceeding above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. In other words, even what you could think would be really, really good and like, man, if I could just know God this way, He wants to go way beyond that. Way beyond what you're thinking. He wants to take you way beyond what you would be satisfied with. Because that's His heart. So in light of all this, He just says, so don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, He's not saying don't get around people who are in darkness. He's saying don't participate in the works of darkness. How in the world are we going to go out and be lights? He's not saying that. It's saying the works of dark. Don't participate in it. That's not who you are anymore. But rather expose them. You're light. You've been given batteries. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You're light now. Walk in the light. He goes on, it's shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. It's almost like Jesus was here. He was a light. The cross was the light of the knowledge of God. But then He says, I'm going to make a whole bunch of little lights. And when we get the Holy Spirit, when God gives to live in us, we light up. And now we become all these little lights that go out into a dark world. And we get to expose. You know, like people are, someone's in, it's like people are out there, they're in a dark room, they can't see, but we walk in the room and we expose. And maybe for the first time, they're like, whoa, what's going on here? Oh, why am I convicted? Oh, whatever. However, remember that time? We went to a party once. Didn't say nothing, whatever. We just walked in. And someone comes walking down the hallway, and they're like, I don't know why I feel guilty. I never felt guilty about this before. And we just laughed inside. I'm like, Lord, it's just Your Holy Spirit's here, obviously, or something. The closer you walk to Him, the brighter your light will shine. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That they may see and glorify. That they may see and glorify. That should be our heart's cry. God, I want people to see and I want You to be glorified. I don't want them to see me. I want them to know there's a God in heaven when they see my life. I want them to know God is real when they see my life. I want them to know there's a God that loves them and knows them, that died for them when they just see my life. I want You to be glorified. I want men to be drawn to You, Lord. Let my light shine like that in this world. That they may see and glorify. We learn that the Christian testimony, if this exists, cannot be concealed. If you are a true born-again believer, you cannot conceal that light. Let it shine. Walk as a child of light. We miss the purpose of our lives when we're here and we don't allow God to produce what He's already done for us through our lives. We should be caught up in our Father's business. Our lives should just be full of a heart and desire to just glorify Him in everything we do. Because God is light. And God is to the human soul what the sun would be to the earth. What would happen if there was no sun? Everything would die. So when we're salt and light in the earth, we're supposed to be life. Life preservers to people. We're to go out into the world. We're to be life. We're to give life to people who are still dead, just like we were. He finishes it with this. Therefore, he says, awake. Awake, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He will let you know Him. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a wonder of wonder when God opens a human heart and we wake up. Now, this could be an unconverted person that's dead, that's sleeping. And the offer is, awake. Open your heart to Christ. Open your heart to what Jesus has done, and the light will come in. Or it could be to those of us who have just forgotten, got sidetracked, and we've been lulled asleep by other things, and God is saying, arouse yourself. Wake up. Remember who you are. Remember what you were and who you are. Get your eyes on me. Get back in my word. I want to reveal things to you. I have things for you to do. I want to walk with you. I want to commune with you. I want a more intimate relationship with you. Awake. Awake. Do you hear my voice? Awake. He's basically saying, turn away from worthless things. Turn away from earthly things that are passing away. Awake to the wonder of who I am. Open your heart to me. Let God awaken your heart. I'm going to finish with a prayer for you this morning. The next part of this chapter, we're going to look at more practically applying principles and things in our life to help us be more awake. We'll look at that next week. But I just want to pray this morning for you, because Paul prayed this for the church at Ephesus there, and I know this is God's heart. Whether you don't know the Lord this morning, or you know Him, your light has gotten dim, you've lost sight of Him, I want to pray this for you, because this is light. He prayed in Ephesians 1, Verses 15 through 23, he says, when I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's the prayer. And this is my prayer for you this morning. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. That He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all. Fills all. In all. In all. Study these verses. Meditate on these verses. Wednesday night, we'll apply this to our lives. So I encourage you, read this over. Pray over it. Write down things God is showing you maybe. And we're going to talk about it Wednesday. Okay? Again, the next session, we'll look at more, what can I do to walk closer to God? Because that's, he's calling us to that, people. He wants you to know him. He wants you to walk closer to him. So I'm going to close with this morning. There might be some here. You know you're in darkness. God is light, and he's here. And if he's spoken to you, and you want the batteries, you want life, Jesus died so that you can have life, so you can know him. You might not understand right now, but you will if you'll open your heart to him, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart this morning, if you just say yes, and God, I need what you did on the cross, God, I need forgiveness of my sins, Lord, I need to trust in what you did for me, and Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to surrender. I want you to come in. I need a new life. The old one ain't working. If there's anyone here, you want to know him. He wants you to know him. We want to pray with you this morning. Anyone here, God is speaking to you. Why don't you come forth, sister? Just come here. Anybody else? You want to know him. You want to know him.